Good morning. Welcome. It's nice to see y'all. I think I know at least most of you, or I've met you now. It's good to see you. We are starting a new sermon series this week called Carols, and we're talking about the birth of Christ, the Advent season. We are going to be using some of our most famous and beloved carols that we sing throughout the year to kind of talk about how this is that we celebrate that Jesus came to earth. I don't know about you guys, but my family at least tries to have a no Christmas music before Thanksgiving rule. Anybody else like that? It gets harder and harder every year, but like we were just driving to Virginia Beach the day before Thanksgiving, and they were like, well, let's listen to Christmas carols. I was like, nope, no Christmas carols. We got to wait till after Christmas, or after Thanksgiving, right? So on the way home, we listened to Christmas carols. That's what we did. We are going to be talking about a Christmas carol that is one of my favorites. It's called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We just sang a modern version of that this morning. Have you ever thought about where the word carol comes from? Like, we're not talking about Carol Burnett or Carol Brady, it's a name, but it's also a type of song that we sing. Why is it called a carol? Well, apparently it comes from a French word, carol. I don't know how to do French, but it's basically the same word, just in French. And basically, it literally means like a dancing song. So kind of get the idea of like an old hoedown from like the 11th century France, where people would get in a room and they're dancing around and singing to each other and all that kind of stuff. And carol, the word carol and the French meaning, it's really songs that we sing to each other. So instead of like having a choir singing to you or the professionals singing to you, right, carols means we're singing it together in this like joyful dancing kind of thing. So that's why we sing Christmas carols, because they're songs we sing to each other to celebrate. And so this song, O Come Emmanuel, actually did some research on this, kind of blew my mind. This song has lyrics that are probably older than any other song you will ever sing that's like still in circulation or in the culture that we sing today. It actually comes, we think, the people I was reading think that it comes all the way back to the 6th century A.D. And it comes from this, there were chants that they would sing to each other, and it was the Advent season. So, you know, in the church calendar, this is the season where we anticipate Christ coming to earth. We call that Advent. And so it's this anticipation period, and they had, every single day, there were different things that they would do. And so the last 7 days of Advent, they would sing these chants to each other, talking about this promised king, this promised Messiah. And they were called the O Antiphons, all right? So antiphon was like this musical term, chants singing back. So like if you can imagine dividing yourself up between two different groups. And so antiphons would be this group saying something to that group, and then that group saying something back, right? It's like this call and response. That's what, like antiphony, was basically sound, anti, against. So it's sounds going back and forth like this, right? So these are like chants. Like, think of monks chanting. That's what the O antiphons were in. So it's like, O, Key of David. O, God with us. O, Day Spring. They would do a different O chant the last 7 days before Advent. And so those chants got put to music and got put to lyrics. And those lyrics, 7 days, we have seven verses of the carol, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Each verse is one of those chants from the 6th century A.D. put to music. Isn't that cool? It was done in Latin first, and then in like 1861, the Church of England kind of officially created the English translation of that we all sing today. And so the lyrics to this song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, come all the way back. We're talking, 1,500 years now old, this song. Now, the Lincoln Brister version is a little bit more modern than what we usually do. I want to. We're going to do something different today. We're actually going to listen to this song. All right. So we've got like a really traditional choral arrangement of this song that we're going to listen to, and the words are up on the screen. So go ahead and hit that, and just kind of let the lyrics and the mood wash over you.
Thank you.
That's good stuff right there. Love me some choral music. Just there's so much there, like just to contemplate in terms of just the music and the lyrics. You've got this, it's a minor key, it's set in a minor key, so it's got this kind of dark and brooding feel to it. The lyrics themselves, if you just think about mourning and lonely exile, the gloomy clouds of night, death's dark shadows, the path to misery. So like this is it's a pretty dark Christmas song when you really think about it. And like just musically, it's set in this minor key, and that's just a beautiful arrangement of it. I love choral music. And there's like this one little part in the chorus that it sings every time, rejoice. So there's like this rejoice set against this really dark, kind of gloomy side. And then it's like just, I mean, there's just one little tiny piece of major happy sounding chords in there, and then boom, it's back to this minor key, gloomy. And that song, it feels like it could just keep going and going and going. It's not, it doesn't really ever resolve to like, I'm done. Because every verse that you sing, just that last little piece, feels like it should just go right back into, you know, it's just like this never-ending cycle of little bit of light of hope and then back to minor key, the whole song. And that's Advent. That's the season of Advent. That feeling of I'm waiting. I don't know where you are this morning, what you're feeling. The Christmas season, I know, brings for some people it's actually a time more of sadness than it is of happiness because of people that you've lost that you're not seeing around the table anymore. Memories of your family when you were a child that were not happy memories that sort of come back around. We all have this, you know, seasons of life of sadness, and sometimes the Christmas season brings those right smack in front of your face, and this song kind of captures that, you know, that feeling of, you know, life is not how it should be right now, and I'm not happy about it. But there's this little twinge of hope in there. O come, Emmanuel, the God with us. We're expecting. And so this morning, we're still in this expecting phase of the Christmas season. Life is not how it should be. The world is not how it should be. I mean, the news these days are bad. It feels like every Christmas season you can always point to things happening in the world that are just, man, this world is not how it should be. And we're still waiting. That's the season of, the part of the Christmas season we're in right now. So what would make your heart sing this morning? That's the question of this series. Why Christ's birth makes us sing. This morning we want to talk about from the book of Matthew the fact that Christ came, that it was looking forward, that all of history, all of the Old Testament was looking forward to this point, that God came. God came in the form of a baby. He came to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament that a Savior would come and he would be with us. And that's what can make our hearts sing this morning. So let's read from Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. This is part of the classic Christmas story that I want to unpack and maybe hopefully bring some new thoughts to it this morning. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's the word of the Lord, amen? So, we're going to talk about this, how we can experience God with us, this Emmanuel God, that God's presence in our lives this morning. Now, the first thing is to recognize your need for Christ in your present situation. So what is your present situation? That's the first question we're going to ask. First, let's talk about what Joseph's situation was. What was the situation Joseph found himself in? I don't know if you have really contemplated this, that Joseph and Mary were real human beings, that they had a life, and they were in the middle of that life. They had plans, and those plans got interrupted. Matthew is actually from Joseph's perspective. The Christmas story that we find in Luke is more from Mary's perspective. So today we're talking about Joseph's perspective. And the writer of Matthew says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." In modern parlance, if Matthew were here today, he'd say, "See, what had happened was, that's what is going on here." Matthew's like, "Okay, so here's what happened. Some crazy stuff went on." All right, so Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and y'all have probably heard this is kind of like the ancient equivalent of being engaged today, but it's a little bit more serious than being engaged in today's world. They were like, okay, they're going to be married. That's why he was referred to as her husband at the time, but it wasn't quite her husband. It was like half and half. You know, they were betrothed. They were going to get married. And so when that happened, they were in that state. Before they came together, that's the biblical euphemism of what you do to bring a child into the world, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's just, like, okay, this is weird stuff. All right, I know we sing about this at Christmas, this is the Virgin Mary and all that kind of stuff, but, like, this is weird stuff. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay, Joseph and Mary were real people. Joseph was probably in his late 20s, just like culturally in terms of how they did the whole marriage thing, you know, back then. Mary was probably like mid-teenager maybe. This is just sort of what we assume from the day and when marriage happened for men and women. And a conversation had to have taken place. Okay, let's just think about this. A conversation had to have taken a place where Mary says, "Joseph, an angel came to talk to me in my sleep." This is what we learn in the Luke story. And I'm pregnant. But before, whoa, chill out. Hold on. Before you go crazy, the angel said it's like God's child. I'm not sure how. I mean, what was her understanding of the time? Right? She had to be kind of freaked out about this too, right? Let's just be thinking about this. So she communicates this to Joseph. And Joseph says, "I don't believe you." He didn't believe her. How do we know this? Well, it says, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He's like, "That's great, Mary. I don't believe you. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to end this. It's not you, it's me." No, it is you. Right? This is the conversation that happened. He was a just man. We learned something about the character of Joseph here. He was not going to put her to shame. So in that culture, if this woman who was betrothed, engaged to be married, cheated on her betrothed, this is what Joseph is believing. She could have dire consequences, maybe even death. Depends on how their community was going to handle it. He was a just man. He didn't believe her. But he wasn't going to just kind of put her out there. He still loved her. He wanted to treat her fairly. Well, maybe not fairly. He wanted to treat her with respect. I don't know what was going on. He loved her, and so he didn't want to see her put to shame. But he didn't believe her. And so he was still, he was like, okay, what am I going to do here? So just put yourself in Joseph's situation for a second. He didn't believe her. He had plans. He's in his late 20s. He's engaged. He loves this girl. He's got plans. They're going to get married. They're going to have a family. He's going to be a carpenter, just like his dad was a carpenter. So his hopes and dreams are all dashed now because this woman that he loved has cheated on him. That's where he is. That's Joseph's situation. He's afraid for Mary. He's making plans. He doesn't quite know what in the world he's going to do, but he knows he's not going to marry Mary. That's what he knows, because she has this insane story that she's telling, that there's no way he's going to believe. That was Joseph's situation. And so the angel of the Lord comes and gives him a message in that situation. That's where Joseph found himself. And then he heard this message from the Lord. So my question for you this morning is, what is your current situation? What, where, that's where Joseph found himself. Where do you find yourself this morning? And we have to consider that. You guys went through the trouble of getting out of bed this morning, some of you earlier than others, if you're working this morning, to come here, to put your clothes on, to get the kids ready, and all this, to do this thing called church. So the question is, why? What situation do you find yourself in this morning, sitting in these chairs? So it could be, like Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Let me just speak this clearly here this morning. If you come this morning and find yourself in this situation, you are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you are currently walking. If you have not received the gift of Christ, that if you've not confessed that He's Lord, that He came to earth as a baby and grew and was crucified for your sins and raised on the third day to show power over death and sin, if you've not received that, then your current situation this morning is that you are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you are currently walking. Okay, that could be your current situation. Or some of you this morning maybe felt the need of Christ at some point in your life. You can look back and say, I remember feeling a need for Christ, feeling that I needed that forgiveness. And so you felt that at one point, and maybe now today you got up and you put your clothes on and you came to church and you got the family ready, and you're not experiencing that same need. You don't recognize your need this morning for Christ today. Maybe you did a year ago, 20 years ago, whatever, but you're not recognizing it today. And so Revelation 3:15 through 17 might be how you find yourself this morning. This is God talking to a church that existed in the early centuries of the church. I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Or you say, I'm rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And so you could be here this morning like this church. You once were hot. You're not cold. You're here. But you don't really have a sense of need this morning. You say, I really don't need anything. My life is going okay. I'm just kind of doing my thing. And that's kind of where Joseph found himself, right? He was a good man, and he had plans. He was like, I don't believe Mary. She's telling me this story. I don't believe it. So I'm just going to have to walk this out, I guess. I don't know. I'm just going to have to go forward, figure something out. I mean, just think about where Joseph found himself. He was making plans. She was not going to be part of his family anymore. There were plans that she was going to be grafted into Joseph's family. That wasn't going to happen anymore. I mean, I'm just thinking this through, right? He had to probably find some plan to like put her away, like to send her to some other town. Maybe he was looking up relatives, like, okay, Mary, talk to me. Who you got? I mean, what, you got an aunt or uncle somewhere? You got a brother, sister? Well, I mean, maybe your parents will take you back. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to go. Okay, maybe you don't want to go back to your parents. Is there like a long lost cousin or uncle that you can go stay with while you start showing, give birth, and you guys can figure out what you're going to do with the baby? I don't know, but I'm just trying to figure something out for you, Mary. That's where Joseph was. You can't stay here because I can't do this. So he's making plans. Maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. You're just making plans. You're just going through life going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make the best of the situation. Maybe that's where you find yourself. The question is, do you recognize your need for Christ this morning, wherever you find yourself? That's the question. If you have not ever felt that need before or responded to that need, I would say God is here with you this morning, and He offers Christ as forgiveness of your sins. And if you are here this morning and you're like, well, I know my situation with Christ. I know I'm a believer, but I just haven't felt a need for Him lately. I'm just doing my thing. I'm going to work. I'm working hard. I'm raising my family. I'm just doing my thing. I don't really need Him this morning. I don't feel that sense of need. This morning we sing, O come, Emmanuel, because God is with us this morning. So that's the first step. Recognize your need. Joseph hadn't recognized it yet. He was just making his plans. And then the second is, believe that Christ is God's provision for your sin. Okay, so let's put ourselves back in the story. Here we go. So as he considered these things, he's making plans. He's talking to the uncle from a couple towns over for Mary's, making plans, maybe saying, okay, how much is it going to cost to get you? I'll buy you a train ticket. I don't know what I'll do. I'm going to get you out of here, Mary. He's making his plans. So he's considering what in the world he's going to do. And it seems like at night, because he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord, the message of the Lord, interrupted his plans. And he says, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, she's telling the truth. That's what the angel of the Lord tells her. I know you don't believe her, and I know this sounds insane, but she's telling you the truth. So don't fear to take Mary as your wife. And then he gets all theological. It's kind of cool, the angel does. She will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, because the name Jesus actually means God saves. And it says that right here. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. So I'm just reading this as just a person reading this. I'm like, well, actually, it says he's got two names. He's got Jesus and Emmanuel. He just chose Jesus, I guess. I don't know. You call his name Jesus, you call his name Emmanuel, and Joseph's like, well, I'll call him Jesus. Right? So let's look at these two titles. Jesus, God saves. So the angel says to Joseph, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, because this child has two names that are really, really important to all of humanity. The one who saves and the one who is with us. All right? So let's contemplate those two things just for a second. The one who saves, the one who will eventually die on a cross. Now, Joseph didn't know that at the time, right? We know that now because we have the benefit of history. Right now, Joseph's just sleeping, or maybe he's like half sleeping because he's worried about this. But the angel says, this is the one that will save us. And then two, he is with us, right? So you can imagine a scenario where God decides to fix our sins, but he never comes. He never comes to actually be with us. But he decided to do both. He decided to save us from our sins and be with us. That's the two titles that Jesus has right there. And so do not fear to take Mary as your wife. This is not like I'm taking you. The word there is actually like, it's like receive alongside. So like, don't be afraid to take Mary alongside with you and keep going on. That's what that means. So don't be afraid to go ahead and receive her in as your wife, because what she's saying to you is true. Wacky stuff on this Christmas. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is a little bit later on down the story, but the angel is saying, hey, this is the one God gave to the world. Romans 5:16, for if by the trespass of the one man, being Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through that one man, Jesus Christ? Christ was the provision for our sins. And that's what the angel was telling Joseph that morning, or that, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was he got woken up in his sleep. So the one who saves Israel is coming. He's in Mary's belly right now. And that's God with us. This serves to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies. And very, very early on in the Old Testament, we hear this, again, another crazy story of how God decides to provide for our sins. It's the story of Abraham when God tells him to sacrifice his son Isaac, right? I named my son Isaac, so this kind of has weird connotations for me, this story. It's a crazy story, right? This is Abraham. This is before the Ten Commandments. This is before the law. This is before Egypt, before the Promised Land, before King David, before all that kind of stuff. This is very early on, the one that God initially communicated to and said, this is what's coming, right? He says, I want you to sacrifice that one son that you have. Remember the son that I promised you when you were very, very old and you didn't believe me? Remember that one? The one that is going to be the descendant that carries on. Remember that promise? Sacrifice him. Weird. Weird stuff. Yeah. Mm. And right before it happened, apparently God was testing Abraham's faith and his obedience. Because right before he actually went through with it, he says, stop. Right? What does he say? Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they both went, so they went, both of them together. So Abraham had faith that God was going to provide the sacrifice, that it wasn't actually going to be Isaac, but he was ready to do it, and then God provided the ram in the thicket right before it happened. This is like an early, early prophecy that we see that God provides the sacrifice. God provides for our sins. And this is Jesus. And then John the Baptist, as he sees Jesus coming, picks up this theme. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So there's this thread throughout of all the Old Testament that Jesus was going to be the one. He was going to be the one to save us from our sins. And that's what the angel told Joseph that early morning. This is the guy. Believe it. Believe Mary. It's true. I know it sounds insane, but believe her. Pretty crazy stuff. So, if some might have questions about this insane story that we believe, about this story that we believe that undergirds this entire season, and the angel tells to Joseph, believe Mary. And the Word of God tells us this morning, believe. And not just believe, but now go. Do what I've commanded you. And so that's the application for us this morning as we study Joseph's life. He found himself in a pickle, and the angel said, believe, and now go. And so that's this morning. Whatever situation you came in this morning, Jesus is the provision for your sins, and he's God with you this morning. Believe it. Experience that this morning. And then we have to receive Christ as the Lord of our lives. So number three, receive Christ as the Lord of your life. That's how we experience God with us this morning. Receive Christ as the Lord of your life. Well, where do we get that from the story? Well, verse 24 there, it says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And the word there is actually, like the King James translates it a little bit better. It says, Joseph being raised from sleep. So it's like the angel's talking to him in this dream, in this like half dream state. And then the angel goes, wap, 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 wake up. So Joseph was like, whoa, what in the world? So he was woken. He was raised from sleep. And then he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And then he took his wife. He did receive her alongside. He knew her not until she had given birth to a son. So he still maintained a man of integrity. And he called his name Jesus. The angel said, call him Jesus. And he's like, all right, I'll call him Jesus. The angel said what? Don't fear to take Mary, call him Jesus. And so what did he do? He took Mary, he called him Jesus. Joseph apparently believed. And not he didn't just believe, he actually did what the angel told him. So we can do this. This is our act of receiving this morning, of receiving along Christ alongside us, receiving this God with us today. John 1:12 says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Colossians 2:6 through 7 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So as you received Christ as Lord, this is Joseph received Mary in Christ. We've got to do the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. All right, catch that. They will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. This is what Joseph did, right? Joseph chose to work out God's plan for him, not his own plans. So go back to what he was considering doing. I don't believe Mary. This is a crazy story. I'm going to be nice, but I cannot do this. I cannot. I'm sorry, Mary. I just can't do it. I can't forgive you. I just can't do it. But instead, the angel comes and gives him this message. No, believer, this is Jesus. This is the one you've been waiting for. This is the Savior of your sins. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. Believer, and take her as your wife. And so he believed. And he acted on that. So what did he do? Well, he received Mary as his wife. They got married. Right? This is Joseph, the guy that was like, you have gone too far, Mary. I can't do it. He actually did. He received her as his wife. They got married. He adopted Jesus and gave him the name the angel gave him, Think about this. Jesus was not Joseph's son. So I can't help, this is like present in mind. We've got this little three-year-old that we've been had in our house, and we just signed adoption paperwork on Friday. You know, so this is like, what we are saying is we are taking full responsibility for this child. He's not our own. He's not our biological child, but we're taking full responsibility. That's what Joseph did. You ever contemplate the fact that your Savior was adopted? You ever think about that? Joseph took on full responsibility for this child that was not his. He adopted Jesus. He gave him the name that the angel told. He said, hey, you're supposed to call him Jesus. And he's like, all right, I'm going to call him Jesus. I'm going to call him Jesus. He took care of his family. So if you go a little bit more in Matthew, you read on that they stayed in Bethlehem for a little bit, right? So the reason they were in Bethlehem is they were given the census, and they were supposed to go back to their hometown to register, right? Remember that whole story? And so, again, put yourself in. So Mary is very pregnant as they're taking the route to Bethlehem. She has the baby while they're in Bethlehem. So they don't have a house, right? Because they had to stay at the inn. You remember this whole story? Remember? You know, we just watched Charlie Brown Christmas play yesterday. So remember that Linus is telling you all about this, right? And apparently they stayed there for a while. Because if you had a brand new baby, especially in those days, there's no hospital, right? You're not going to take the journey back to wherever they came from with a brand new, you know, three-day-old baby, right? You're going to let the baby grow a little bit, get it healthy, make sure everything's established. So we read that they were in Bethlehem. And when the wise men come, they're not in the stable anymore. They're actually in a little house in Bethlehem. So we don't know when it was that the wise men came, but they stayed in Bethlehem for a while. Joseph provided. Apparently he was working. Remember, Joseph was a carpenter by trade. He taught Jesus how to be a carpenter. And so he was working in Bethlehem. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, put a sign up outside of this little house that they were renting saying carpenter for hire. I don't know. He found some way to provide to get this house for them. Right? So he took on Mary. He took on the baby Jesus. He took them on and protected them. He provided for them a house. Then another angel comes, and so Joseph is like, man, apparently I'm the guy that angels visit. I don't know. This is really weird. Because another angel comes and says, all right, bad stuff's getting ready to happen. Herod's getting ready to go through, and he's trying to root out this Savior that the wise men are talking about. You need to get out of here, and you need to get out of here right now. And again, Joseph believed the angel, and he obeyed and took them to Egypt on a little, you know, little vacation. Like, come on, Jesus, we're going right now. We got a little vacation to take. We're going to go to Egypt. So he takes him to Egypt. He believed the angel and takes him to Egypt. And then the angel visits him. It's time to go back, but don't go back to where you were. Make sure you go somewhere else because Herod's son is not real friendly either. And so Joseph took Jesus up to Nazareth, right? This is the life that we see Joseph taking now. This change from this man that is a good guy. He's nice. He's just. He's not going to do anything wrong to Mary. He didn't want to wrong her. He loves her, but he's just very disappointed. This is Joseph here. And now we have this Joseph after the angel appears to him and says, believe her, and this is what I want you to do. And he does. He doesn't just believe the angel. He actually obeys the word that the angel gave him. So choose your own adventure stories. Remember those? Remember those when you were young? Choose your own adventure. You get to a certain page and it says, which one does Joseph believe the angel and obey the angel, or does Joseph not believe the angel? And I wish the Bible were like this. We could kind of see how these things played out. Because let's choose the option where Joseph doesn't. Right? Let's see what happened then. We know what happens if he chooses to believe and obey the angel. What would happen if he didn't? This is a good analogy here. Think about maybe even Joseph believed the angel. Let's pretend that. Maybe he believed the angel, but he didn't obey what the word of the Lord came from him. You can imagine this, right? Joseph says, Mary, I had a weird dream last night. He told me that you were telling the truth, that this is some crazy Holy Spirit baby inside of you. Joseph says, I believe you now, Mary. I do. I believe you. Thank you for not cheating on me. This really makes me feel better now, knowing that you didn't cheat on me. But I still can't do this. I still can't marry you. You can see that happening, right? Like, this is just too weird. This is not what I signed up for. So he could have believed the angel. He could have believed, but not obey. Right? He could have said, I'm still going to go through this whole divorce thing. I know, well, I'm going to treat you well. Don't worry about it. And I believe you. Thank you. It makes me feel better, but I still can't do this. And still gone through the process of finding a place for her and putting her away for a while. And she would have just gone about her life raising the baby Jesus as a single mother. That could have happened. And this is how sometimes we live our lives. This is the difference between belief and faith. So we can say this morning, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he rose from the grave on the third day. I believe all that stuff. I believe he's the Savior of my sins. He's a provision for my sins. I believe all that kind of stuff. But I'm just really not ready to do anything as a result of that. Because that's what Joseph would have done if that was the case. Joseph would have been like, yeah, I believe all that, but I'm not ready to obey. This is the difference between belief and faith. Right, that's the difference that Joseph made, and that's the difference we can make. See, belief isn't faith until it changes the course of your life. It's just thoughts. Okay, I believe you. It's not faith until you actually do something about it. It's not faith until it changes the course of your life. So my question for you this morning is, like Joseph, have you allowed your belief in Christ, your belief in God as the provision of your sins, as Christ as God with us, have you allowed that to change the course of your life? That's what Joseph did. His life was radically different because of the choice that he made to obey what the angel of the Lord told him. What's God calling you to this morning? Is your life basically exactly the same as it was before you came to Christ, but you just have this sense that, okay, I'm good. I got my fire insurance. I got my get out of hell free card. I'm just going to go on about my life as if nothing has changed. That's what Joseph would have experienced if he didn't believe and act. If his belief didn't turn into faith that changed the course of his life. So that's the question we have. Not only do we believe, do we find ourselves in need of a Christ, of a Savior. Not only do we have to believe that Christ is the provision for the sin. Now we have to experience God with us today, changing the course of our life and being the Lord of our lives. So we sing this song, O Come Emmanuel, out of a sense of maybe darkness, but we can look forward because we're on the other side of history now. We can look back and say, he did come. The angel told Joseph, he is coming. God tells us this morning, he has come. How are you going to respond? So one of the things we're going to do this week is on the WCC Facebook page and the Eastgate Facebook page, there's 7 verses of O Come Emmanuel. Each day we're going to put a verse and then the scripture that's behind each one of those verses, so you can kind of use that as like a little devotion this week to contemplate this Christ that was promised to us. I encourage you to do that this week, to really think about how should the course of my life change based on the fact that God is with me today. That's how we respond to this question, this call for God to come to be with us. Will you choose that? Will you choose to first, this morning, recognize your need for Christ, no matter what your situation is? And second, believe that Christ is the provision for your sins, that he is the one that was promised to you to save you. And then three, will you let him alter the course of your life? Will you let him be the Lord of your life? Will you change the way you're living based on the fact that God is with you today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you that you didn't just stay in heaven, that you didn't stay away from us, that you gave us the option to call on you and to receive you with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you're the Christ with us, O God, Emmanuel. I pray for those this morning, Lord, that recognize their need for a Savior, Lord, but they've never received you. They've never received you alongside of them. I pray that they would do that this morning. They would not leave here recognizing their need but not accepting you as the provision for their sins. And for those here this morning that have known you maybe for some time, but like the Christmas season sort of interrupts our life, and we think about you during the season, we think about family, we think about all these things, Lord, I pray that you would interrupt our lives this morning, Lord, and help us to recognize our need for you on a daily basis. Lord, be with us. Thank you for being the provision of our sins, Lord, and thank you for being with us Help us experience that on a day-to-day basis now, Lord, through this season. In your name I pray. Amen.